Amen. And thank God, it's good to be back in church with him. Been a while since we've got to be in church together. I used to hear those old preachers, you'd have them come and do a revival for you, and it'd be one night, they'd say, you know, I really wanted to preach on something to shout about tonight, and, you know, a real revival message. And I thought, well, why don't they just do it? But then they'd tell you, this is what God laid on my heart. And that's where I'm at tonight. I have wrestled all day long. Mark chapter 6, if you'll turn over there. I believe there's somebody here God wants to help through this tonight. I appreciate your prayers. It's been wonderful this week. I thank God for it. Brother Jeff said a minute ago, said, you may not get to preach. I said, that'd be fine. Let the big preacher take over. Thank God. My throat's about wore down. But I tell you what, I'd rather wear it out for the glory of God any day. And I used to, he's talking about shouting a ball game before I ever got saved. And old Steve used to, he come when he got saved, chase me. I run him pretty good one night trying to get away from me. And him trying to tell me more about the Lord, he didn't know it, but God was already dealing with my heart. And God had been convicting me for some time. And but anyway, the thing of it was this. I'd holler, "Let's give out." And I'd go home, and if we lost, I'd try to figure out during the night why we lost. But thank God, since I've been saved, I've done a lot of preaching and shouting, and wore my voice out, my throat. Amen. But I have never went home yet and tried to figure out why we lost. Thank God, because we're on the winning side. Amen. Thank God. And the best is yet to come. It gets better and better. In the book of Mark, chapter number 6, verse number 45, we do need your prayers tonight that God will have his precious way. Because if there's anything that I want to do this week, I feel like I've been on vacation. I feel like, thank God, I've been sitting on the side of the ocean and the cool breezes are blowing, and just glory to God, that's where I feel. My soul feels refreshed. I have so thoroughly enjoyed this week. I thank you from the depths of my heart for God letting me and your pastor letting me come up here. And thank God, I just wouldn't take nothing for it. Amen. And it's good to get along alongside with folks, and thank God, join in with them and just get in there and go for God. Verse 45, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in the rowing, and for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." I want to speak to our hearts tonight on this thought. If you be praying, when the storms of life are raging. I read Mark chapter number 6. We know that this is in the book of John. I believe chapter 6, also in Matthew chapter number 14. Chapter 14 tells us that when Jesus came in the fourth watch of the night, walking upon the sea, and it tells us the story about Peter, how that Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, said, bid me come to you." And he said, "Come." And Peter slipped out of that boat. And we've criticized Peter down through the years because he got his eyes off of Jesus and watched the winds and watched the raging sea. But at least Peter got out of the boat. Thank God he was willing, amen, to step out. And he walked on faith all the way, thank God. And Jesus, of course, lifted him up. And so tonight, I just want to notice some things about the storms of life. And there's not a person probably here tonight, if you're past 20 years old, that you have never been in a storm, that you have never been in the midst of something that you didn't quite understand. And it seems like these troubles and these trials are the days that we live. And we've sat in the prayer room this week, and I've heard these dear gentlemen come out and say, the brother back here with his mother each night, he's asked that God's people would be praying for his mother, that she'd be able to eat a little bite, that she would come along. And the other brother that's been here most of the week that's got the cancer, and how that he has asked people to pray for him. And these things have come upon him, and oh my. And in life, there's one thing about life. There's always storms in life. Some of them are harder than others. Some of them we bring on ourselves. That's what Jonah did. Some of them, God puts us in the midst of them. That's what happens here. But there's some of them, my friend, that we get ourselves into, like I said, and some that the Lord brings us into. So here's a few things by way of passing tonight. I want you to notice what the disciples learned. First of all, he learned this. They learned, he brought me here. Thank God. When you're in the midst of the storm, and the winds are raging, and the storm and the sea is rolling, thank God, isn't it wonderful to know that he's the one that brought you there. When Jonah was on that ship, in the bottom of that ship, and he had gone to bed that night, and he was laying there sleeping and just as content as he could be. But the storm was raging, and we know the story. And he finally confessed that this storm is because of me. And Jonah was thrown over the boat, and we know about the whale swallowing Jonah and all that. But here we find these men are in a storm, and it's a storm that Jesus brought them into. In fact, the Bible says that he sent them, and he went alone to the mountain to pray. You can learn this. Thank God, Jesus, he will put you in the storm. But thank God, there's one thing for a fact. He may put you in the storm, but he'll come to your aid, short of the world. And then notice with me, if you will, the Bible said he went alone upon the mountain to pray. And so when you're in the storm, if you'll remember that Jesus is praying for you, thank God, there's somebody, thank God, sitting in heaven tonight at the Father's right hand. And he is your advocate. He is the one, thank God, that is holding you up. He's the one that's going to the Father on your behalf. Thank God, when the storms are raising. But then notice something else real quickly. When I'm in the storm, he will come to me. Sometimes he'll still the storm. We've heard that old saying time and time again. So all the time, God don't always still the storm. Sometimes he steals a child and let the storms blow. And my friend, as the storm winds blow this whole life, and I thought when I got saved, everybody said, if you'll just trust the Lord, if you'll get saved, you'll not have no more problems. You'll not have no more troubles. It didn't take me long to figure out. Amen. That person did not tell me like it really was, because I found out in a little while that troubles come, and I found out that trials come. But I have never found out yet that Jesus does not come, thank God, in the midst of the troubles. I have never faced nothing to this day, thank God. When I've been in those places, I've never gone through them alone. I've never been alone since 1973 on that old paper machine when God gloriously reached down and saved my soul. Oh my, I wouldn't take nothing. Thank God for the journey now. It's been glorious every step of the way. There's a few times we've gone through a few rough places. There's a few times that the winds have blown, and my goodness, we've gone through dry spells, cold spells. We've gone through all kind of storms and stuff. But thank God, he's been there every step of the way. Amen. He said he'd never leave us and he'd never forsake us. And I'm telling you, the greatest consolation tonight, if you're the one that's in the midst of that storm tonight, I want you to know, thank God, he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And when you're in those storms, there's something that we need. Amen. I've got to know. There's a few things when I'm in the midst of those storms. I remember in 2001, my wife had sold her Pasifino mare. A girl and her daddy came from Franklin to pick up the horse, and we just had an awful time. She didn't want to leave because she had two little foals that were still in the pasture. And that horse, she fought going into that trailer, and I was just all to pieces. And about in a little while, Jared or one of them hollered at me, and they said, Dad, Uncle Steve's on the phone. He wants to talk to you. I went up there to the house, got that phone, and I said, hey, Steve, what are you doing? He said, I got bad news for you. And he said, little Benny got killed last night down in Calhoun, Georgia.
And I said, Steve, that ain't funny. He said, I'm not trying to be funny. He said, I'm telling you, that little Benny got killed. That's our nephew. He got killed in a car wreck last night before daylight in the morning. We need to get together. We've got to go to Calhoun, Georgia. And whenever I was talking to him the whole time, Brother Bill, I felt myself falling. I felt myself just grabbing my heart. And I said, it can't be. It can't be. But we loaded up and went off down to Calhoun, Georgia, and there was Benny, and there was Patty, and there was Mom, and little Benny's wife and children, and man, it was the saddest state of affairs we ever seen in our life. And brother, that was something that happened so quickly. He had gone on Friday. He had lined up a company to build him a house. He had got a loan to build the house. He had got a promotion at work, and things was going good. He told his wife that night, he said, I'm going to go across town and see so-and-so. He said, I'll be back after a while. After a while, she went to bed. And then sometime in the morning, the law knocked on the door and said, we hate to inform you, but your husband has been found. He fell asleep at the wheel, hit a culvert, and that thing just broke him all to pieces, killed him instantly. Oh, you talk about storms. I mean, these storms, they're like being on the Sea of Galilee. We've been on that thing. And man, you'd sit there and you'd look at that sea, and it looked like a mirror out through there. But we stayed at a place called Tiberias when we were there several years ago. And up in the evening, Brother Eugene, all of a sudden, the winds would start blowing. And Brother, it'd start white-capping out there because that thing's down in the valley. And Brother, I'm telling you, those storms, they come up so quickly, and they are so severe sometimes that ships go down. And my friend, that's the same way it is in life. They'll come up so suddenly. I mean, you're just clicking along. You're just running along, having the time of your life. And then all of a sudden, the storm winds, they begin to blow. And brother, not only do they come up suddenly, but the severity of them. We don't know what we're going to face before the day is over. We don't know what's going to be on our plate tomorrow. Oh, but thank God, I'm glad I've got a Savior that lives. I'm glad I've got a Savior. I'm glad I know there's a God Almighty on the throne. I know there's a God Almighty that knows and cares, thank God. I have told many times about one night several years ago. I know my brother gets tired of hearing it, and of course he tells a few that I get tired of hearing. But I come home from work, and Hutch, you tell him we did do a little work down there. Amen. But I come home from work one evening, or one night we'd had to stay over. My wife was sitting on the couch and she was crying. And I walked in the house and I said, what's wrong? Because when a husband comes home and his wife's crying, he's trying to find out who done it. And he's hoping he didn't do it. And she just shook her head and said, nothing. Something along that line. And I said, what's wrong? And she said, well, she said, Monica called a while ago. And she lives down in Wilmington. And she said, Monica called a while ago, and the doctor says she has cancer. I said, what? Cancer? No. She said, yeah. She said she's got cancer, and she's got to have surgery. They got her through that surgery. And about 2 or 3 weeks later, she had to go. They said, we didn't get it. They had to go deeper into her. But anyway, the thing of it was this. I sat down there that night, and I felt like my heart, Brother Jeff, it was plumb up in my mouth. I felt like I'd come to the end of the age. I felt like I'd come to the end of my days. I felt like this is the awfulest news I've ever heard in my life. And brother, I just couldn't believe it. But she sure did. And then we went on. She got the surgery. They said, we got it all. They done some treatments on her and stuff. And boy, we was getting plumb excited about it. And then our oldest son, Kenny, he called home and he had gone to the doctor. And the doctor said, I'm sorry, but you've got melanoma. And anyway, he had to go through that. They had to operate on him, and he's still getting blood tests even today. And she told me that about Kenny, and that just about killed me. I said, Charlie and I, and brother, anyway, we went on a little while, and our youngest son, Jason, he had a tumor behind his eye during all this time, and anyway, they had to go in and take that tumor out and stuff like that, and man, you know, if you ain't never been through stuff like that, you don't understand, but it just about killed you. But in a little bit, just maybe a few days, she called me at work, and she said, honey, said, Jerry has gone to the doctor, and the doctor says that he has melanoma. I said, there ain't no way I could have four kids and all four up dealing with this stuff at one time. And brother, I felt just as low as I could possibly get. I felt like what in the world? And brother, I'd lay in that bed of a night, and I know God was able. I knew God was on the throne, and I'd lay in that bed of a night, and I'd say, now Lord, God, they're yours, and Lord, you're there in your hands, and we're just going to trust you. I'd go off to sleep a little while. I'd wake up about 2 o'clock in the morning, and brother, I'd lay there for a few minutes. All of a sudden, I could just see him. I could see us going down to the funeral home. I could see him. I could see the funerals taking place. Oh my. And I'd toss and I'd turn. And finally, I'd lay there a little while and I'd toss and I'd turn. And brother, about that time, I'd say, Lord, God, forgive me for doubting you. But Lord, I just got to, Lord, I'm just concerned. And God, you're going to have to do something. Anyway, we went on for that for a little while. I was working in a waste treatment plant, which is across the river. We had to go to the main mill to work on some screens, and I was driving the truck. There's four of us in the truck. During this time, this went on for about 6 months. We was riding along, and them guys, they used to argue 54 out of me. Anybody here ever heard of Ernie McElrath? He aggravated me from the time we had started the day that we left. Daniel Warren, they just, and I had a ball with them. Well, this aggravated me as we was coming along, and I'm thinking about them four kids. One of them, Ernie, or one of them said something, and usually I'd laugh or say something back, and I didn't say nothing. And Ernie come up over that seat, he said, what's the matter with you, preacher? He said, you mad? Have we made you mad today? And I just lost it. I said, no, I'm not mad. I said, I'm not a bit mad. I said, if it wasn't for you fellas aggravating me, I don't know what to do over the last 6 months. And I began to tell them. And they said, why didn't you tell us? I said, I didn't know how to tell it. I said, right now we've got four kids. Each one of them's facing some kind of a cancer treatment. Each one of them facing some kind of cancer surgery. And my friend, that storm, it come in, Brother Jeff. I mean, it blowed up on us. And I thought, my. And alive for 6 months. And we didn't know if it was going to live or die. I would go to bed of a night, and I said I'd lay there, and I'd say, Lord, they're yours. And in a little while, the devil would say, you're crazy, they're going to die. And I'd toss, and I'd turn, and man alive, and I'd go to church and preach. I'd go to do other things and for the glory of God. And the whole time, my heart felt like it was a shell. My heart felt like, Brother Hutch, you've been there. You've been there with your daughter. You know where I'm at. Amen. But oh, I'm telling you right now, God Almighty, through it all, he took care of it. But there's a few things I had to know. A few things that I really needed when I was going through this time. I need to know that I have got the foundation of prayer before the storm hits.
Amen.
Pray before the storm comes. Our Savior weathered many storms. And they hit him from every side. But he faced every one of them because he had been in communion with the Father. Thank God. Our life as a child of God is built upon a foundation of prayer. Amen. Every night. Every day, sometimes you wake up in the night hours and you toss and you turn. And finally you say, wait a minute, there ain't no use me tossing and turning. And you lay there and you cry out to God Almighty, and God begins to speak to your heart. Amen. All of a sudden, God becomes real. And my goodness sakes, I mean, when this thing comes, you've got to have a foundation. I mean, brother, it's good to hope. It's good to think. And it's good to wish. But thank God when the storm's in. Amen. You've already been praying. And when the storm comes, thank God you don't have to acquaint yourself with him. Amen. You don't have to say, hey, Lord, this is little Junior. Thank God he knows who you are. You know who he is. And praise God, you can talk to him. Our life, our church is built on a foundation of prayer. There's storms in this life. And Brother Gene, you've been through a whole lot in the last few years. But thank God you had a foundation when you got into that place. A foundation of prayer. There's a fellow by the name of Job. I'm not going to go into his story. Everything was going good. Then the servants started coming. Before the servants came, they was meeting over in heaven. And the devil went before God. And God asked him, said, "If you consider my servant Job?" He said, "I've considered him." He said, "You've got a hedge around him. I can't get to him." He said, "You've got to move that hedge so I can get at him." And brother, God turned him loose. And when the devil got turned loose, all the oxen died, the camels died, all the servants died, and worst of all 10 children died. And Job, he said this. He said, "Naked I came I into this world, and naked I'll go out." Man, he loved God. He still looked toward God. And the storm winds come, one right after the other. It wasn't that one come one day and told him that the Sabaeans had come down and attacked and killed all the animals. That was bad. But here come one when he left, or when he got through, here come another one. And the news kept coming, and the bad stories kept coming. And old Job, oh my goodness, I can't even imagine it, because all I went through was just with 4 kids. I couldn't imagine all that Job went through. But man, then the devil went back to God and said, "Yeah, skin for skin." Said, "You let me go ahead and get at him." He said, "A man who ain't no telling what he'll give in exchange for his life." And God said, "Okay, devil, you go ahead and afflict him, but you can't touch his life." And brother, he began to afflict Job. He had balls from the bottom of his feet up to the top of his head. He's already buried 10 children. Everything he's got's gone. And now he's in that shape. Can you imagine? Here I am. I've been through a few things. And sometimes I whine. And sometimes I cry. And I say, "Oh, Lord, why me, Lord?" Amen. But old Job, can you imagine all that coming at you at one time? His wife walked out there with them ashes, and she dumped them ashes out. And she said, "Do you still retain your dignity? Why don't you just curse God and die?" Somebody said she was being mean. I think she had a little pity on him. You ever heard somebody say, "I believe I'd be better off dead"? That ain't always so. But Job, when she said that to him, she said, "You talk as one of the foolish women. But when you've got that foundation of prayer..." I was talking to this dear sister a while ago, Sister Crow. We was talking about when she raised up over yonder in Glenville. We was raised up on Mount Wildcat Cliff and Hike Creek up there, and then over across on Hogpen Branch, and all them places through the years. Move over in the... we used to call it Colored Town in Nineveh. Our neighbors was some Moss Sims and the Moore family. And thank God, but we just moved from here to yonder and all kind of stuff. But we got to talking, and I said, I can remember as a little boy, and our mama, she'd take in ironing from people. We didn't have no electricity up on Wildcat Cliff, and she'd get that old iron and she'd put it on that stove, and she'd get that thing hot, and she would keep her a Coke bottle or something, and she'd punch holes in that cap, and she'd put it on them wranglers as she was begin to iron them. While she was ironing, she was singing Amazing Grace, and we was running around that ironing board. Thank God. And I always said, boy, if I could ever get me a pair of them wranglers, I'd be tickled dead, because we was wearing red camels or whatever we could get. But brother, let me tell you something. Thank God, in the nighttime, it'd be time for bed. Our mama would line us up, 7 of us, along that old bed, and she'd say, "We're going to pray." And she'd tell us how to pray and what to say and stuff. And we'd go through it, and at the end of that prayer, we always had to say, "In God, bless everybody in the world but the booger man." And we didn't know who the booger man was, but he couldn't have been good, so we didn't want him blessed. But man, let me tell you something. Because thank God we had a mama. Amen. I can remember her as a little old boy, ironing them clothes and singing Amazing Grace. Thank God. I told her a while back, I said, "Mom, you don't know what an influence you made on us kids. When we was growing up, we've been through a lot. Been through a lot of things in a lot of places. But oh, thank God, because somewhere back yonder in our childhood, somebody told us, said, you need to talk to God. You need to talk to God. Because let me tell you, somebody said this week, either you're in a storm, or you're getting ready to go in a storm, or you're coming out. We're all time in one of those three conditions. And brother, when it comes, thank God you've got to have a foundation of prayer. Knowing that you can get a hold of the very throne room. Bring your petition. lay your burden out. And you have a father. Thank God Jeff said all week, God can. And God can show us the world. But not only do we have to have a foundation of prayer, but we got to have something else. Because in verse 46, when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And if the Son of God believed in prayer, and Paul said, brethren, pray for us. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen. He said, praying everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Brother, they pray. Praying is the most lethal weapon we've got. Thank God. It can move mountains. It can move hearts of stone. Prayer. Thank God. Amen. I remember a feller by the name of Swifty Clark Hutt. You know what I'm talking about. He come out to fellowship one Sunday when I was out there, and he said, preacher, he said, this is my little girl. Since she's got leukemia. He said, I want you to pray for her. And I don't have no healing abilities, not in anything in the world. And I said, Swifty, we're glad to have you. And we went on into the service. And about that time, I asked the deacons to come up. And I said, we're going to pray for Swifty's little girl back there. She's got leukemia. Anyway, she wasn't really able to even come to the front. And we had that prayer. And when the prayer was over, she punched her daddy. And she said, Daddy, somebody touched me. She said, Daddy, somebody touched me. And do you know what? That girl grew up, became a school teacher. And thank God for years, she's got her own family. You say, why? Because of effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Thank God. Where could I go? Hey, where could I go? I'm but to the Lord. Amen. When you're laying there of a night and you're thinking about your children's funerals, my friend, there's nowhere to go except to God Almighty. Amen. I've never come to Him that He didn't rub my furrowed brow. Thank God. Amen. That He didn't say, I love you, son. Thank God. I'll take care of it. He always has. Glory to God. A foundation. Foundation of prayer. Then you've got to know that He brought you there. He's in charge. He's in charge of the storm. I got something right here I want to show you. Have you ever been in the midst of a storm? And sometimes does your life feel like it's like that? Somebody, you probably tell what it is, but just play like you can't tell it's a giraffe. Look at all them threads. That woman sat there, she's making quilts for the grandchildren. And I'm watching, I'm looking at it from this side. And I'm asking her, I said, what in the world is that? She said, you'll see when you get I get through with it. Sometimes I feel like my life is. Amen. Just here and yonder. Up and down.
Amen.
I ain't never been in and out.
Amen.
When we got in, God was in, we'd come in to stay.
Amen.
But I each time I felt like my life. My goodness sakes alive. I knew God had control of it. I knew God had a plan for it. And I've said, Lord, I don't understand why. I don't understand this and I don't understand that. But God said, son, said I'm a working on something. Amen. You see, God had a plan. Just like my wife, when she started on that, it was blank. And she had a plan. She knew what she was going to put on there. I didn't have a clue because it looked like a bunch of bumbo jumbo to me. But old Margaret was sitting there. Thank God she's looking at it from this side, because it was in her mind, it was in her heart. And brother, these storms come, these troubles come, and these trials come. And Lord, we don't understand it. We can't figure it out. But thank, and it looks like, oh Lord, I just into one and out of it and into another. And then God says, wait a minute, one of these days, amen, when it's all said and done, thank God I'm going to show you the finished product. Amen. And we'll look back and God will say, here's the reason for that. Here's why I done that. Amen. You see, we don't understand. But God Almighty, in His providence, He put us right exactly where He wants us. You see, our Savior sent these fellas into that storm. They didn't just drift into it. The wind blowed. But He stood between me and the storm. I was sitting there a while ago and I said, Lord, I sure wish they would sing that. I didn't think it was going to, and they finally did. That's what I need. I need to know that these storms, He sends them. He don't send them to destroy me. He sends them to develop me. He sends them to prove me. He sends them so I might draw nigh. God said, if you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh unto you. He sends these storms. I've heard folks in the prayer room. One fellow with a son in jail down on the East Coast. If you don't think that ain't no storm, you let me just let me tell you. It's a storm. It's a storm shows the world. There's one I heard talk about their his mama with cancer. I've heard others talk about pray for my children. And they've gone into a little bit of what's going on in their children's lives. And Matt, let me tell you something. That person right there at that time, I know exactly where they're at. Because while you're in that, man, there's times you'll wring your hands and you'll worry. And you won't be able to help yourself. And it looks so dark. It looks so bad. No, you'll just cry. And you'll just, oh. And you just don't go around telling about it. I never went to church and told them how hard I was having it. I just asked them to pray for my kids. But, man, I'll tell you what time I'd go home of a night after church. I'd lay in that old bed and I'd toss and I'd turn for a while. And then finally I'd pray and go to sleep. And a while I'd wake up and I could see myself over yonder at Wells's or Garrett's and I was picking out coffins. And man, I'd lay there and I'd look up through that old skyline in the bedroom and I'd look up toward them stars and I said, oh Lord, Lord, please let me have that cancer. Lord, I'll take it. Please don't let them have it. But God said, no, this is for them and it's going to help them and it's going to help you. And Lord, glory to God, I look back at it now. I see God's hand in it. Amen. I see God. I felt the touch of God. I felt the hand of God. Amen. From day one, there was times I was afraid. There was times I was worried. But oh, thank God I never felt it better until I laid it down at his nail-scarred feet. God knows what he's doing. God's got a plan for every one of us. Hey, some folks suffer a whole lot more than other folks. You ever get the feeling like you've had it tough? Go over to the VA hospital. Go to them nursing homes. Old woman grabbed me in there a while back. She said, you've seen my son? I said, no, ma'am, I don't know who your son is. She said, he ain't been to see me. I said, you tell him to come see me. I said, if I see him, I'll tell you. One old woman running around in her wheelchair. Got a baby, a little doll. I watched her at that memorial service over our Saturday. She's sitting there and she was a nurse and that little old baby, rocking it, and she'd reach over. She'd kiss that little baby and she'd play with its little old cheeks. And I thought, wonder what her life could have been like. So I asked somebody. They said her husband was a preacher. Her husband pastored churches. And he is a great man of God. Boy, she used to shout, have a big time. And there she is over at Mountain Ridge at the nursing home near right there at Ridge Crest. And she's rolling around there. And she has that baby. Every time you go through there, she's got that little old baby doll. She's loving on that baby. But man, let me tell you something. God Almighty's got a plan. I may wind up like that. I don't know. But there's one thing for a fact. I may not know who I am. I may not even know Steve. Even if he turns sideways and I look at his nose, I may still not know him. But I'll guarantee you one thing. Thank God there's a Savior on high. Amen. He'll never forget me. Glory to God. I may not know my family. But thank God. And I may not even remember that night on that paper machine when I got saved. Oh, but thank God. When I come down to die and I can't say to my family, I'll meet you in the morning. I can't say that. Hey, you say, why? I mean, if I don't know where I'm at. But when I get over to glory, Jesus is going to say, Kenneth, Sonny, Junior, whatever your name is. Amen. Thank God we're glad you're home. Amen. Amen. I mean, God knows what he's doing. Hallelujah. If you're in the middle of it right now, you just go ahead and say, Lord, you brought me here. Amen. Those disciples, they fought that storm. We fight those storms, those troubles. We fight those trials. But God's got a reason. God's got a reason for just a little, for every little bit of it. One thing that I have learned through the years when that was going on day in and day out, and one thing that you do when you get in that storm, it's good to hear other people's experiences, but you won't be relying on what they've said. You'll be going on what you're experiencing. You won't hear somebody say God's grace is sufficient while you're in that storm. They'll tell you that. But you know what you'll be saying? God's grace is sufficient. Look what you've been through in the last year or two. All them surgeries and stuff. Him pastoring the church, preaching his heart out. Running up and down the road visiting, trying to win souls. And going for the glory of God. You see, we're not exempt just because we're preachers. These things come. They come to everybody. It don't matter who you are. These storms come. But oh, my goodness, knowing that God Almighty, He knows what He's doing. He brought them there. Let me hurry on real quickly. Notice, if you will, I've got to know one thing, that the Lord, His presence is always there. I lived with my grandma quite a bit when I was growing up. I thought I was taking care of Nanny. I'd stay home a while and I'd go to stay with Nanny a while. So my aunt, her husband was in the Army, and he brought an old Army cot and she put it in her bedroom. There's a window there. And she said, "Son," said, "you can have that cot, that Army cot." She had her bed and right in her bedroom, and I slayed there. And of a night, the winds would blow and it rained, and boy, I'd get scared. I'd look out that window and it looked like there was things out there in their claws. It was just like this, getting ready to come and get me. All it was the trees blowing, you know, moving, and the bushes are shaking. Man, I'd get scared, and a few minutes I'd holler, "Nanny." And she'd say, "What?" I'd say, "Nanny, what?" I said, "Nothing." In a few minutes, it'd get me again, and I'd holler, "Nanny." And she'd say, "What?" And I said, "Nanny." She said, "What?" I said, "Nanny, are you still there?" I said, "Are you awake?" She said, "I am now." And brother, I'd holler, "Nanny." And I kept on hollering, "Nanny." She finally said, "Why don't you just get over here in the bed with me?" And I got out of the little Army cot and I crawled across that old big four-posted bed. I crawled up to the top of that thing, thank God. And my little grandma was laying there and I got under that cover. I threw this big old arm around her, thank God. And I said, "Nanny," I said, "I'm so glad to be with you." Hey, man, I felt as safe and secure as you could possibly feel. There wasn't nothing could bother me. And there's been times in this life that we've cried out and we've said, "Lord, Lord." And He said, "What, child?" And we said, "Lord." He said, "What, child?" And I say, "Lord, I just want to make sure you're there." He said, "I told you I'll never leave you. I told you I'll never forsake you. I told you, thank God, regardless of what you go through, amen, regardless of what you face, I'm never going to leave. And I'm right here with you. Thank God, I'll rock you through the storm." And He does. He does. Thank God He has, and He'll continue to. But it felt so good to crawl in that bed by my grandma. I felt just as safe. And when I was up at our house, we had 7 kids, 1 bedroom, 4 girls in 1 bed, and us 3 boys, we had it made. We were just 3 of us in the bed. Me and Steve and Benny. We'd get in there and we'd do like churches do. We'd fuss and quarrel and throw stuff. And Dad would holler. And in a few minutes, we'd get up and go over and smack them girls in the dark. Couldn't see nothing. Run back, get in the bed and just snigger. Dad would holler, "You better lay down and go to sleep, or I'm coming in there." And in a few minutes, we know he was coming, because when you heard his feet hit the floor, he had a belt something like I got on. It was double. He come, he didn't open that door. He just slammed that thing open. He never turned on a light. He just jerked the cover down and started beating. Whoever got the most was the one that got it. But brother, he beat, and he beat, and he'd come over to the 3 boys and he'd beat. And old Steve would lay there and holler and scream, "Oh, you're killing me." And brother, what he was doing, he was rolling between the bed and the wall. You see, he'd already moved the bed out, and he is ready. So what it was, me and Benny is getting the devil beat out of us, and he is doing all the screaming. Oh my goodness. Now let me tell you, but sometimes God has to do us that way. Sometimes God sends some of those storms. He doesn't send them just for His glory. He sends them for our good, because it'll bring us back to Him. It'll bring us closer to Him. God knows what He's doing. Amen. God's got control. He's done and seen the final page. He knows where I'm going to wind up at. Thank God He knows what day my time's coming when I get to go home. He knows, thank God, what I need. He knows more about tomorrow than I know about yesterday. In the book of Revelation, them churches, He said, "I know." Thank God, ain't it good? When you go to Jesus, He said, "Child, I know." You say, "How does He know?" He's already experienced it. He done went through everything you'll ever face. Nothing's ever come to you that didn't go through Him and comes through Him now. Just knowing that Jesus is there. And He's not an innocent bystander. He's right in the thick of it. When you was going through all them surgeries, brother, I believe you, when you once said the other night, said, asked you if you was nervous. when you had all that stuff going on a while back. And, oh, he said, just, it's in the Lord's hands. It's in the Lord's hands. Because the night our daddy died, the morning, 6 o'clock on Mother's Day Friday, at the VA hospital on the fourth floor, we was all ganged around that bed. And Dad was them death rattles. And he got to where he going, yeah. 6 o'clock in the morning, he blowed out that last breath. And we were still sitting there going, but just a few days before that, about a week before that, in fact, he said two things. His daddy died the week before. Me and Steve done his funeral, our grandpa, on Friday. We wasn't going to tell Dad that his daddy was dead. He said one evening, he said, Dad, I'm a-coming. Let me Amen. Get my shoes. He done knowed. And then the last words I ever heard him speak, he said, Jesus, I'm coming. Just before that, he had me to take him outside. He said, son, take me out to the flagpole. I got him on that wheelchair. Rolled him out down that elevator and out there where the flagpole is the VA, and it's changed a little bit now. He said, turn me back toward Hyatt Creek. And I put him in that wheelchair and turned him back toward Hyatt Creek. He's sitting there, his little old hands are drawed up. He said, son, said, light me a cigarette. I hadn't smoked a cigarette in a whole lot of years. And I said, okay, Dad. And I got that pale mail out of his pocket. Put my mouth and I lit it. I put it in Dad's hand. He sat there and never took a drag off of it. That means puff for you young people. He just sat there and it burned up. And he was facing back toward home. And I was standing behind him and I was crying like a baby. It's heartbreaking to see the shape he's in. And then him wanting to go look at home. And he looked back toward home and his tears run down his face. And Brother Jeff, I believe what he was saying. He's looking back up yonder toward Hogpen Branch, that old house, and that Francis that lived there, and them youngins that grew up in that old shack. And he was saying goodbye. I'll see you in the morning. In a little bit, he looked at me. He said, son, take me back. That's the last time we ever had him outside. But I say, oh, my land, sakes alive, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was with him every step of the way. Thank God forever. Oh, we don't understand, but we know one thing. We've got him. Thank God, that's worth it all. Let me hurry on, but his presence makes it all worthwhile. Then we find we need his strong hand in a time like that. You see, the Lord's hand, John 10:28, he said, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We need a hand. He's got the hand. That's a hand of eternal life. A hand of eternal security. But then there's another hand. I read in the Old Testament that said he had engraven us upon his hand. Every time we look at them nail-pierced hands, thank God he put our name.
Yes, sir.
It's engraven.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God.
And every time he looks at those hands, he thinks about me.
Amen.
Every time he looks at those hands, he thinks about you. But when those storm winds are blowing, man, we need his strong hand. Because I'm going to tell you, you'll fall and you'll falter and you'll get so down and so discouraged. Your world, when you have news that comes, some of this stuff happens to you, it seems like your world gets awful small. And if you don't get up and go back to church, and if you don't get around some of God's people and get in a good shouting meeting, and I didn't feel much like shouting, but boy, I tell you, it was good when I'd go to church and I could feel God giving me strength every time. And amen, and the whole time I was in his hands and I didn't even realize it. Right. He was bringing me through it, thank God. Oh, and he was right there in the bedroom of a night. He was right there when I'd go see him. He was right there on the job. And those fellas, they said, were you mad? I said, no, I'm not mad. I said, I'm just sort of facing a little something. And I just broke down and boy, they started crying. Had to pull that old truck over down there in that mill. And oh, Ernie said, you ought to have told us. I said, I couldn't tell you. Didn't know how to tell you. I said, oh, but I said, my whole heart's been broke. But I said, if it wasn't for for you fellas aggravating me, if it wasn't for you guys treating me like you used to do, I said, I don't know what I could have been going through down here, because them 8 hours was a long time. But thank God I had some fellas around me. All of them didn't know the Lord. They wasn't all praying for me. But thank God they loved me. As I aggravate me, as they gouging me and punching me and kept me going on, thank God. You see, I was in his hand. He took me in his hand, thank God, when I first got saved. And I've been in his hand every step of the way, thank God. Amen. I mean, we need his strong hand when you're in the middle of the worst storm you've ever been in. You've got to have him. Just knowing. Thank God that he's there. And Jesus cares. He came walking on the water to his disciples. He was trying to show them with the storm, the waves are rolling, that what they were afraid of was just a staircase to him, or for him to come to them. And thank God, I don't know how big a boat it was. I don't believe his feet was that far underwater. I believe he's walking on it just like I am this floor. Thank God it was liquid, but it was solid. When Jesus come across through there, they took him in the boat. And thank God, what I love about it, while they was in that storm, he was watching. He is watching, looking as they toiled. He is watching them as they suffered me. I just wrestled and went through it all. But thank God he didn't look on as a spectator. Amen. He was up on the mountain. That's what he told old Peter. He said, Peter, I prayed for you. He said, the devil wants to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you. Thank God. He says to me more time than one, son, I prayed for you. Amen. You just hang in there. Let me handle things. Let me run your life. Thank God I know how to work out. And do you know what? One of these days, glory to God, the God that we serve, he's going to come back. Rapture's going to take place, but we're going to come back later and reign with him and rule with him for 1,000 years. And this crowd today that says there's no God, this crowd today that said they're anti-God and everything anti-church, one of these days that same crowd's going to stand at the great white throne judgment. And my friend, there we'll stand. I believe, I don't know if we'll be there, but I think sort of in sometimes I think we may be there spectators, and some of that crowd will see us, Brother Hutch, and they'll look at us and say, you know what? And look how I done that old fella. Hey man, I remember old Bill Henson worked in the mill. He come down to his retirement, and there's an old boy there that gave him a fit from day one. I mean, he called him everything every day. He treated him worse than a dog. And old Bill Henson went over on his retirement day, and he got him by the hand. He said, James, I just want to thank you, and I love you. And old James looked at him. He said, what do you mean you love me? I ain't never done nothing you love me. He said, I've cussed you every day. He said, I've treated you like a dog. He said, I know, but he said, your cussings is what kept me on my knees. Amen. I think he was getting ready to say, if it hadn't been for me being on my knees, I'd have killed you. But that old fellow was good for him. He kept him sharp. Kept him, keep drawing nigh to God. But our Savior, when the winds are raging, I don't know who you are tonight, but you may that be that one that's in the middle of that storm. The news just keeps coming. It just keeps getting worse and worse. And Lord, sometimes you wonder. We say sometimes, Lord, it just can't get no worse than this. But it can. And it does. And it will. But there is one thing for a fact. We're still on the winning side. Sometimes just having somebody to talk to that cares makes a lot of difference. Because all you don't always have somebody to talk to. But you go to him. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's a high priest that was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. We have one, somebody said a while ago, that died, buried, rose from the dead, and he lives. And because he lives, I can live. Oh, my goodness. Wake up each morning. God lets us wake up on this side of eternity. We don't know what tomorrow may hold, but I do know who holds tomorrow.